Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. The hybrid workplace is a reality with more employees beginning to re-enter the office. They all have vastly different needs, expectations, and behavior. Standard theory and best practices for office design are out the window, and employers' improvised solutions won't work long term. Real office operations and usage data, now finally available and accessible to employers, enables the design or redesign of offices in today's new workplace reality. How we manage work is changing, and as the nature of work changes, companies must adapt to new styles of measuring employee performance. Flexible works require a shift in accountability and expectations, but technology can certainly help with that. Interspace, based in Toronto, Ontario, has been making great strides in what is developing the leading Wi-Fi-based indoor location platform, which helps transition employees back to the workforce safely. Here today to tell us more about the company and to discuss about the concept of the hybrid workforce is Mr. James Wu, the CEO and founder of Interspace. Mr. Wu, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me.
And really appreciate your time and looking forward to hearing from you and getting an update of sorts as well. So if you would, for starters, describe Interspace and the goal of the company.
Sure. Well, I mean, as you already kind of introduced, we are a indoor location company, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. We founded this company really on the vision that location data indoors and, an understanding of where people are and how they use space was going to be critical to the future of the workplace. And, you know, just as it's become critical outside with the use of GPS, we knew that data would inevitably become as valuable indoors, and we set out to be that company. And that was back in 2016, really, when we started it in earnest. And since then, we've been really focused on helping customers who occupy large footprints of corporate real estate, like enterprise-class customers, get more value out of their facilities, understanding how they're being used, and build a better experience for their employees.
Fantastic, and certainly looking forward to hearing more as well. Now, for those that aren't so sure of how the technology works with Interspace, tell us more about the technology developed and how Wi-Fi can be used to generate indoor location data.
Sure. Well, there's a reason we chose Wi-Fi, and that really was the recognition that if we wanted to be impactful indoors, the indoor space is, particularly the commercial indoor space, is massive. There's literally trillions of square feet of commercial space around the globe. And we knew that if we were to be relevant in this space, we need to pick a technology that was scalable, one that would be available across those billions and billions of square feet of commercial space. And that the only technology really that you can depend on being available in any commercial space is Wi-Fi. So we picked that horse, and one of the challenges that existed at the time was that Wi-Fi as a location platform was tremendously inaccurate. And the investment that we made in R&D was to be able to go from, you know, state-of-the-art at the time, which was, you know, anywhere, accuracy of anywhere from 10 to 30 meters indoors, to where Interspace is today with our technology, and being able to figure out where people and things are indoors to within, you know, 1.5 to 2 meters. And so the way that works is, you know, every piece of technology that ever connects to Wi-Fi emits a signal. And much like GPS works by listening to multiple points of transmissions from satellites, we're listening to signals that come off smartphones and smartwatches and smart TVs and computers from various points through people through the Wi-Fi. And then we're using our proprietary algorithms in the cloud to figure out where people are.
Certainly some interesting details, and I'm sure you've got those technology buffs paying real close attention to those details as well. Now, tell us, what niche markets does Interspace serve the most?
Well, what's interesting about us is we're focused kind of on a meta market, if that's a term. Like, we are focused on enterprise-class customers who are occupying large footprints of corporate office space, because that's really where we can deliver the most value to a customer. And corporate office exists in all kinds of markets, whether it's, you know, financial or legal or, you know, high tech. We have customers across all of those markets, but their commonality is that they have employees who use their facilities who have a workplace and come into the office, or at least they typically come into the office. You know, 2020 and 2021 has been interesting in that respect.
And I'm sure it has. Now, as we've been working, as you know, remote lately during COVID-19, how is Interspace helping to transition businesses back to the office? Touch on those details.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, when, you know, as a business focused on helping corporate workplaces get better use of their facilities, 2020 was a bit of a curveball for us, as all of our customers, you know, were abandoning their offices and sending everybody to work remotely. But as 2028 wore on and 2021 came, what we realized was that we became even more relevant now than we, you know, were before. I think this pandemic has accelerated the market for technology like ours, you know, probably by 5 or 6 years, because, you know, in the short term, all of our customers and all of our prospects are wanting to know, how do we manage the return to the workplace? How do we make sure employees are coming back to the office in a safe way, and that we're managing density and we understand occupancy, that we're compliant with all of our local regulations and municipal guidelines around how many people can be in an area at that time? And that's kind of a short-term problem to solve, where we can help our customers, get back to work. But longer term, I think the impact that COVID-19 has had on the market is that people who operate these large footprints of office space have recognized that maybe there's a very different role for the workplace in their operations. You know, 2020 and the first half of 2021 have shown all of our customers that, you know, having employees in the office was optional. Businesses continued to exist through 20 and 2021. So how can we reduce our spend on these tremendously expensive facilities that we lease or own, and still support the core elements of what the office, the workplace does for us, which is supporting collaboration, supporting productivity, supporting and fostering corporate culture and retention and all of those things? But how do we do it in a way that we can, you know, dramatically decrease our costs, our real estate and costs, while, you know, at least maintaining or perhaps enhancing the experience our employees have?
Certainly do appreciate all the information shared so far. Today we're speaking with Mr. James Wu, the CEO and founder of Interspace, the world's most accurate Wi-Fi based indoor location intelligence platform, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, is the hybrid workplace a reality in your eyes, and will we ever be able to restore offices to the way they were before?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a reality yet. I would say it's an inevitability at this point. I think there are two players at that table. One is the employer and the business, who, you know, is looking at their spend on real estate and saying, you know, over the past year, I've been paying for these facilities that have sat empty, and my business has continued. So why, you know, maybe my workplace doesn't play the role I thought it did in my business operations. So if that's true, you know, how do I transition it to something that costs me less money and that is more effective? The other side of the table are the employees who have, you know, been working from home for the past year, year and a half, and have been able to, one, show that their productivity remains high and that they continue to help drive towards the goals that their business and their employer has. But two, they have been able to benefit from, you know, literally the luxury of a better work-life balance. And that sounds weird when you're working at home, but I think over the past year, people have seen that they can, you know, take their kids to the doctor when they need to, go and get groceries when it makes sense, and still get all of the work done that they need to get done. And what that means for them is they're not eager to get back to the office. They don't want to be stuck at home full time, but they definitely don't want to go back to the grind of commuting and spending 2 hours a day in a car or on transit. And so both of those, you know, both parties at the table are motivated to try and figure out the hybrid workplace, what it means to have a much smaller footprint of office space serving a much larger employee base in some kind of shared model. And so with both of them motivated to do it, I think that's why I call it an inevitability. We're not there yet because a lot of offices are still closed, and I don't think anybody yet knows exactly what the hybrid workplace is going to look like and exactly how they're going to operate it. Which is really why at Interspace we're so busy these days, because people are recognizing that they don't know, but what they do know is that they need data to start figuring it out, data about how their facilities are being used, and that's why they're coming to us.
Once again, quite interesting. Now, how does the way we work fit into this hybrid model? And they say 9 to 5 is a thing of the past and technology can help bridge that gap. Can you give us some examples of how technology is doing that?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious one is how we have been collaborating over the past year, right? Things like Zoom and, you know, Google Meets and Microsoft Teams and all of those tools that have helped us stay connected as a company, or helped us stay connected with customers and prospects and, you know, all of the other interactions that we have to have in order for work to continue. All of that's been enabled by technology over the past year. And, you know, as we start to go back into the workplace, different kinds of technology will come into play. I think the remote communication tools that we've had will remain as relevant as they were. But as we start to get back to the office and start to have face-to-face interactions, we'll start to depend on different kinds of technologies that help us capitalize on this new model for the workplace that will emerge. You know, tools that help us find desks or find resources in the office place, in the office or the workplace when we're there, more efficiently. So we're not spending our time when we are in the office looking for a place to sit or looking for an open office meeting space, right? These are all elements of the hybrid workplace that are going to depend on technology to make them operate efficiently.
Now, another question for you along those lines. Do you feel technology has had to adapt in general to the changing COVID-19 environment? And if so, how?
Do I feel absolutely technology has had to adapt. I mean, at the beginning of in March 2020 and April 2020, just think about how often, you know, our Zoom calls would drop, or how challenging the challenges that the early days of the pandemic presented when trying to collaborate remotely. Now all of that is much more seamless. Whether it's the capabilities of the tool itself, whether it's bandwidth, whether it's even people's comfort and familiarity with simple things like headsets and webcams, all of these things have had to improve inevitably over the past year because of the exposure and the amount of use that how rapidly their use has sort of spiked over the past year. And I think technology will continue to have to adapt to us as we go back to the workplace, because, as I said, we will be, you know, the employees are going to be different when they come back. They are going to be expecting a different experience in the office place than they were previously because of the experience they've had over the past year. And when employees expect something different, they behave differently. Technology has to adapt to the human rather than the other way around.
And of course, during this difficult and challenging times of COVID-19, what have you been doing at Interspace to get through this past pandemic this year that helps motivate employees?
Yeah, it's been interesting, right? I mean, we're a relative to, you know, the customers we serve, we're a small company, and which means, you know, the challenges for our customers are only magnified relative to our own. But, you know, when we first went remote, we implemented, twice weekly town halls at the beginning of the week, at the end of the week, to kick off each week with, you know, some element of setting the stage and setting context and setting direction and making sure that everybody was aligned with you know, where we had to go this week and where we were trying to get to this month and all of the key things that were going on in the business. But also we made sure that each of those two touch points every week had a social element. Even today on a weekly basis, we have a question of the week where one of the employees comes up with just a thought-provoking, sometimes personal, sometimes sort of Trivial Pursuit style question that everyone gets to chime in on. And it's a half hour of the time that is really just about focusing on people and their engagement with each other as human beings. I'm trying to replace some of the social element that gets lost. Trying to figure out ways to use the technology we have at our disposal to recreate some of the elements of the in-person office experience that has been lost in remote work.
Mr. Wu, really do appreciate your spending a moment with us here today to give us this fine report and explain the technology and how you've been assisting during these difficult times through the COVID-19 pandemic. In conclusion, any key goals for the last quarter of this year and into 2022? Anything we should be aware of?
No, I mean, our key goals are to work as fast and as hard as we can with the customers who are, with our existing customers who are, coming back online and coming back to the workplace and looking to their existing inner space deployments to help guide and direct and inform that initiative, as well as work as rapidly as we can with all the customers coming to our pipeline to try and get glean the same benefits. For us, the last quarter, the second half of 2021 is going to be the busiest two quarters that we have ever had as a company. And just, paddling like mad to keep up with it all is the goal for the second half.
Mr. Wu, again, really appreciate your visit with us here today and sharing your key goals for the remainder of this year and into next year, 2022. Where can one go for more information on InnerSpace if they decide they want to work with you in the future or to get further information?
Well, the best place for them to go to find more information or to get in touch would be our website, and that's innerspace.io.
And listeners, you can visit our broadcast page to pick up that link as well. Mr. Wu, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. James Wu, the CEO and founder of InnerSpace, the world's most accurate Wi-Fi-based indoor location intelligence platform. And for all the details, visit innerspace.io. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7. Around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.